ナモ妙法蓮華経、ナモ妙法蓮華経、ナモ妙法蓮華経。Hello, good friends. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. We are continuing with, was it chapter 15? Bodhisattvas from beneath the earth, or springing up from beneath the earth, or springing up from under the Saha world, or you and me. You and me, the future bodhisattvas, the bodhisattvas to come, the bodhisattvas who have been a part of the energy that is in formations to express in the realm of form, we human beings with sentient minds to perceive the true nature of the cosmos of which we are instantiated. Everything else is just skandhas, pleasuring ourselves, living in opportunity befitting our particular karmic freight train. But rather than just being amazed by this incredible perception we have, experience we have, we're constantly, constantly worried about hanging on to it. And hanging on to it means get more to ensure I can hang on to it and not let it go, and craving and clinging. All of that craving and clinging makes us stressed out, full of anxiety. We create our own suffering. Oh, but wait, what if you're born poor? If you don't know anything else, what do you... All these language that we use, all this language is meant to qualify, judge, better, worse, more, less. How do we possess? Why do we possess? Oh, I love that word, why. Not. That is just an endless pit of anxiety. So, it's very simple. Shakyamuni said, well, stop doing that. Just realize that we're all momentum. Nothing is permanent. Nothing is in and of itself. Everything just expresses itself and dissolves. All of it is just an expression of potential. Rather than worrying about it, get fully engaged in it. Be in a state of wonder at how it's all, not even how, just experience it happening, life. And anyone who isn't easily identifiable, once you do that, oh, do this, my friend, right? Compassion. Learn how to let it go. So I have this, about a page of annotation here at this point. We're not done by... So I said... This is the point that Zhiyi, or Tendai, whatever you prefer to call him, Chiche, and his student Zanran maintained the division from the earlier chapters as the beginning of the forceful paradigm shift and the establishment of the Lotus Bodhisattva's ultimate teaching of Shakyamuni. For decades, Shakyamuni has been teaching the path to Buddhahood and the liberation and detachment from samsaric mentations. Mentations, you know, of the mind. But the last stubborn samsaric attachment of human mind is the relentless identification as a vessel of the body, where the self is manifest. This fetish of the body is the most ingrained into the consciousness of every man ever born, or woman ever born, of the womb. It could be said at this point that this last vestige of samsara is the very delusion that manufactures the clinging to thoughts of afterlife or multitudes of heavenly realms on other planets, like the eternal soul. Nothing. How can you study Buddhism, understand impermanence, emptiness, anatman, and then utter the words eternal anything? No, not even the Tathagata is eternal. Why? Because the cosmos will at some point end. We know this. So too, with these early students of Buddhism, did they relentlessly adhere to this religious magical thinking, even though Shakyamuni spent so much time teaching impermanence and emptiness and anatman, etc. Now, however, the kid gloves come off, and this delusion must be destroyed if the real teaching has any chance of surviving now and into the future. So, you know, most people who read this and groups would tell you that Buddhism's all well and good until now, when it's in danger of being lost. You know, it's always been in danger of being lost. That's a constant theme in Buddhism. Why? Because it takes work to do this. It's difficult to, what does Shakyamuni say? Accept and understand. And, you know, humans, we don't particularly like difficulty. As to the use of the bodhisattvas from under the earth in an awaiting space, quote unquote, right, ether, Maitreya and the other current bodhisattvas are greatly concerned that their best is being shunned, and they are having difficulty understanding how a man, Shakyamuni, who attained enlightenment just 40 years ago, had time to teach these incalculable bodhisattvas to the level of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. How is this possible? Oh, you have no problems thinking of yourself reincarnated 50 million times, but how is this possible? Of course, this is due to that delusion of the body, because they still seemed unable to distinguish between Siddhartha Gautama, the man, and the realization of Buddha, not a man, a state of enlightenment, a state of the mind. Still treating Shakyamuni as though he were the one and the only Buddha in the universe, rather than seeing him as a voice for, a vehicle for, teaching the universal Buddha-ness. Notice I didn't say eternal. Universal Buddha-ness, Tathagata. This leads right into the following chapter, with Shakyamuni explaining, using his time dilation techniques, that he, the Buddha, is a constant and timeless function of the cosmos, Tathagata. All right, we continue now with the chapter. Already in progress. Then the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya and the numberless Bodhisattvas and others were seized with doubt and perplexity, wondering at this rare thing, and reflected thus, how has the world-honored one, in so short a time, instructed such innumerable, countless asamkhayas of great bodhisattvas and caused them to abide in perfect enlightenment? And then they addressed the Buddha themselves. Right? They had this thought. They couldn't keep it to themselves, so they expressed it. How has the world-honored one, world-honored one, the Tathagata, when he was a prince, Tathagata-ness, when you were Siddhartha Gautama, a prince, a man, left the Shakya palace and not far from the city of Gaya took his seat on the wisdom terrace and attained to perfect enlightenment, like it happened in an afternoon, yeah. From that time, but 40 years have passed. Man. World-honored one, in so short a time, how have you done such a great Buddha deeds? All of these deeds, all of these instructions, all of these people. In 40 years? Come on. How'd you do this? What's the secret? What aren't you telling us? And by Buddha power and Buddha merit, taught such an innumerable host of great bodhisattvas to attain perfect enlightenment. World-honored one, this host of great bodhisattvas, even if a man counted them through thousands of myriads of kodas of kalpas, he could not come to an end or reach their limit. All these, from the far past, under innumerable and countless Buddhas, have planted their roots of goodness and accomplished the bodhisattva way. He's showing his ignorance here, yeah? Constantly living the noble life. World-honored one, such a matter as this, the world will find hard to accept. No, Maitre, they haven't been living a good life. They're going to, but their formations always abide in the potential. That doesn't have a time element, right? Time only exists when something is expressed in the world of form, because in that moment to moment, it is expressed, it develops, it abides, it dissolves, and then it's gone. The potential still exists, and it will express itself again in a different way. Not only because that's what potential does, formations, but because it's kind of a feedback loop. The causes that we make as sentient beings do influence that freight train of karma that folds itself right back into the quiescence. So we're affecting the future, even though we do so in our temporary, momentary, moment-by-moment existence, carnal, saha world existence. It is just as if there were a man of fine complexion and black hair, 25 years old, who pointed to centenarians and said, "These are my sons." And as if those centenarians also pointed to the youth and said, "This is our father who begot and reared us." Now, if you don't know what a centenarian is, he's saying if these children, 25 years old, pointed to 100-year-old men and women and said, "She's my daughter, they're my son," and those centenarians, those 100-year-old plus women, said, "She's my mother," it would make no sense, right? Because again, they're still thinking of, you said you taught all of these people, even though in 4 years we don't know how the hell you did that. But even that alone, look at them. They're youthful. They're, you know, how could they have lived so many thousands of years? Because Shakyamuni is not talking about him, the man. He's talking about Tathagata-ness, always fundamental to the engine of life, yes? But Maitreya isn't, he's not getting that. This matter is hard to accept, so also is it with the Buddha, whose attainment of the way is really not long since, right? You only gained your enlightenment, you know, some 40 years ago. What's going on? Yet this great host of bodhisattvas, for numberless thousands of myriads of kotas and kalpas, for the sake of the way, have devoted themselves with zeal. It's not making sense to them. Okay, we understand. They have entered deep into, come out of, and dwelt in infinite 100,000 myriad kotas of contemplations, have attained the great transcendent faculties, and for long have practiced Brahma conduct. Certainly longer than 40 years by your own storytelling, right? They have been able, well, step by step, to learn all kinds of good laws. They are skillful in question and answer, are treasures amongst men, and extreme rareness in all worlds. Today, the World Honored One has just said that when he attained the Buddha way, he, from the beginning, caused them to aspire to enlightenment, instructed them and led, and caused them to proceed toward perfect enlightenment. It is not long since the World Honored One became a Buddha, yet he has been able to do this great meritorious deed. Though we still accept that what the Buddha opportunely taught and the words the Buddha uttered have never been false, and yeah, we're not calling you a liar, and also the Buddha's knowledge is all perceived by us, yet if newly converted bodhisattvas hear this statement after the Buddha's extinction, they may not receive it in resolve, and this will give rise to causes of wrong action to the destruction of the law. Okay, we know you never lie, but this is unbelievable, right? You've left us with like a really tough problem. So, World Honored One, be pleased to explain it, removing our doubts, and so that all the Tathagata's good sons and daughters might in future generations, on hearing this matter, shall also not beget doubt. Thereupon, Maitreya Bodhisattva, desiring to announce this meaning over again, spoke thus in verse. Of course he did. The Buddha of old from the Shakya race left his home near Gaya, took his seat under the Bodhi tree. From then, it has not been long. These sons and daughters of the Buddha, immeasurable in their number, have long pursued the Buddha way and are firm in transcendent wisdom power. But see, when he says, have long pursued the Buddha way, he's thinking, today is it, they must be from the past, right? What he's not perceiving is, have long pursued the Buddha way into the future, right? Because these are expressions of potential that have not yet occurred. Yet, because they're expressions of bodhisattva, they became so due to the teachings of Shakyamuni. What Maitreya is not understanding is it is due to his vow and all of the other bodhisattvas in the assembly and everyone, their vow to promulgate and pursue and publish into other lands into the future begets these bodhisattvas. But all of it is the same teaching that they're hearing right now from Shakyamuni Buddha. That's a time loop Maitreya just can't, no one was perceiving, right? Thus, the next chapter will clear that up ad infinitum. But he goes on, they have ably learned the bodhisattva way and are as untainted with worldly things as the lotus flower is in water. Issuing from the earth, all have a reverent mind as they stand before the world-honored one. This matter is hard to conceive. How can it be accepted? Well, if you understand its proper order, it requires a little bit of imagination. It is but recently, again he's going to say it, the Buddha has attained the way. No, the Buddha hasn't attained the way. Shakyamuni attained the way of Buddha, which is an instantiation, a manifestation of something that has abided since the cosmos, Tathagata. Right? We understand the difference? And the things he has accomplished abound. Be pleased to remove all doubts. We're confused. Help. Explain and tell us the real meaning. It is as if a young, strong man, just 25 years old, indicated a centenarian sons with white hair and wrinkled faces, saying, "These are begotten by me." And the sons also saying, "This is our father." The father young and the sons old. The whole world will not accept it. See, the timeline is, he's not getting past here. Talk about being attached to the past, yeah? So it is with the world-honored one. Very recently he has attained the way. So it is, yet all these bodhisattvas are firm in will, dauntless and strong, and from innumerable kalpas have followed the bodhisattva way. How can this be? Skilled in answering hard questions, their minds are free from fear. Decided in their patient mind, dignified and majestic, they are extolled by universal Buddhas. Well able to reason and teach, they rejoice not in the crowd, but ever love to dwell in meditation. For the sake of seeking the Buddha way, they dwell in the space, the region below the Saha world. So this is a reality. It's not the dirt, right? For all of the analogies with the lotus flower, when we're talking about the bodhisattvas from beneath the earth, what we're really saying is bodhisattvas from the future reality that lies for our human relations beneath the earth, but not beneath the earth as a planet, as a crust, but beneath our experience. Therefore, an experience to blossom, to take root, to grow and blossom in the future. That part they don't seem to understand, yeah? They're still mystical, thinking there's some special spot in the ether where they're hiding. You see the difference? We, hearing it from the Buddha, have no doubts on this matter. It doesn't sound like it, but okay. But we beseech that the Buddha, for future hearers, will explain that they may understand, because we don't know how to explain it. We don't really get it. If any should doubt, and disrespect this sutra, he would fall into deluded and malicious paths. So help us to help them. Be pleased to expound for them now how these innumerable bodhisattvas in so short a time have been instructed and converted and abide in the never-retreating stage. Oh, and I have another wonderful annotation. That is actually the end of the chapter. So it leads right into the lifespan of the Tathagata. Not Buddha, the Tathagata. So here's my note. These bodhisattvas from beneath the earth are indications of future Buddhist practitioners, as you and I are manifestations of that potential. It's really about us. Excuse me. It is significant to understand this prediction in terms of timelessness, if you will. As we read in chapter 10, teachers of the Dharma, those born into this world have already made the commitment of Buddha as we are instantiations of that potential throughout all time and the cosmos. From chapter 10, these people are great bodhisattvas who, having accomplished perfect enlightenment and out of compassion for all living beings, are willing willingly born in this world and widely proclaim and expound the wonderful law Dharma Sutra. That's a quote from chapter 10, remember? This is also validation of the inherent nature of all living beings and phenomena. And for Nichiren, this is a critical point. Here ends the fifth facile. So, our next video, our next talk, will be chapter 16, the parts B and C of Gangyo, Revelation of the Timeless Life of the Tathagata. And that, for Nichiren, this next chapter is critical to his doctrine. It's I would even venture to say that of all Nichiren's studies, as much as he talks about it, it's the foundation of the 3,000 realms. It's the foundation of innate Buddha nature. It's in the foundation of being single-minded in our practice to awaken, open our Buddha eye. Because Buddha is a human Saha world instantiation, experience of Tathagata, which is the foundation of the truth of all phenomena, is the engine of life, is the Tathagata, the formations. So this next chapter, this revelation, was for Nichiren certainly that, his big renge. And then there was a sequence of renge after that, because everything else suddenly came together and made sense. For Nichiren, this entire teaching, and all of Shakyamuni's teachings, but the Lotus Sutra, with the help of his predecessors, right, Dengyo, Miao Lo, Tendai, or Zhiyi, Zhanran, Zhiyi, the whole Tendai revolution in the exploration of the whole canon of Buddhism, right? In all of its translations and languages. Kumarajiva in China, translating these ancient texts from the Gandhara, or what is it? Gandhara, yeah. If you're into the history of these kinds of translations and early teachings, later teachings, and so forth, this is really an amazing book, and it's about recent in the 2000s, the discoveries made in what used to be Northeast India, where they translated into various languages, not just Pali, thank you very much. But, you know, Buddhism was taught in Prakrit, a very universal kind of lower level language. I mean, Shakyamuni wanted to reach everyone. And he was very much of the mind that as these teachings spread throughout the world, that they should be taught in the native languages, in what people are familiar in, because that's expedient means, right? Or a skillful means. Expedient devices, whatever, analogies, stories, so forth, that people might begin their study with terms and ideas that are familiar and then slowly evolve to get deeper and deeper, more and more capacity to understand beyond the language, the meaning of what's going on here in the mind and the universe as a whole. Everybody has a path to that knowledge because that knowledge is built in. Just need to know how to access it, yeah? It's amazing. The more I read about Buddhism, the more I'm appreciative of this insight. It's just incredible. Okay, with all of that, blah, 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 one of the things I'm deeply appreciative for is your participation. So thank you. Thank you for supporting, whether it's just liking and subscribing, which is a Bodhisattva act. it does help the robots make this resource more available. So thank you. If you're buying ebooks or print books, the bookstore, go to the website, get a lot of free stuff there, access to the free audio podcasts, get yourself a proper mandala. All of that is super helpful to keep this effort going. And those of you on Patreon, your patrons on Patreon, you're amazing. You are definitely universal worthy bodhisattvas, yeah? And some of you just go directly to PayPal. However you're doing it, your monthly donations from $1, $5, $10, whatever, $100, $300, you know, whatever is comfortable for you to support this effort. I occasionally send free copies, PDF copies of books I'm writing and so forth to patrons. I'm always looking for ways to to help in your studies, right? Considering that you've already paid for it through your donations. But I so appreciate your work. I'm using this word too much today. I was going to say foundational, but it's fundamental to the survival of this effort. So thank you. And with all of that, more blah, 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 I will let you go. Please take care of your health. Stay safe, and I will see you in the next one. Promise. Bye for now. Thank you.